This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Friday morning. It was not a miracle for the Jets. It was not a repeat of special things and a game you're going to talk about for the rest of your lives, because the Jets at 16.5 point underdogs went into Baltimore and pulled off a miracle. That did not happen. The Jets, I will say, even though they lost by 21 and I have to buy breakfast for everybody and that's already in there and I already gave Bobby the money and we're all going to eat because of my stupidity, I have to say that the Jets did impress me at times in this game. Offensively. Defensively, they were completely overmatched and they had no shot. And with all the injuries, they just were not slowing down this incredible offense. But they had their shots in the first half, man. They were moving the ball. They got down there. They had the field goal blocked. They got down there. They went for it on fourth down and didn't get it. They got down there again, and Sam throws the interception. They were moving the ball. They just couldn't score. This, to me, was not one of those totally embarrassing losses, despite the score that we were talking about the Jets wanted to avoid. I know it's three scores. I get it. But if you watch this game and didn't just wake up and look at the score, there was some stuff there from Sam in the offense that was positive, but they are just not on the same level as the Baltimore Ravens, who are the best team in football with the best player in football. And quite frankly, I don't know how anybody stops that team right now. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I think you said it perfectly. I'm doing good. And it's kind of a game where we knew they were going to lose. The question is, how are they going to lose and what were they going to look like? And you know, you take a look at last night's roster and you look at some of those guys on the field, are like, what? Who? Where'd he come from?
Jeff Smith.
And good for them. I mean, they're playing in an NFL game, and I don't want to discount the fact that, you know, it's a dream of theirs, and they've made their dream and they're living their dream. But unfortunately, in a situation like last night, it was going to be very rare that they were going to be able to overcome that steamrolling of an offense. And there were some plays that were made. I thought Sam actually accorded himself well last night. You know, the difference between like Lamar throwing the ball down the field and Sam throwing the ball down the field, Sam had to throw the ball down the field within about 3 inches of the receiver.
Sure.
Or it wasn't going to be caught, because almost every pass was contested. He had no presence at tight end whatsoever. At least they ran the ball. They gave the ball to Le'Veon Bell. He had some nice runs. Never any explosive or big plays. Just steady 3, 4, 5 yards, that type of thing. There were a couple times where I thought Le'Veon Bell was really lazy on the field, and I was glad that Troy Aikman pointed it out.
He did,
and it
crushed him.
It just kind of that kind of crap drives you crazy if you're a quarterback, because you're dropping back and you need your guy to get to his spot as quickly as he possibly can. But if he feels like he's covered and he's loafing and he's not going to get the ball, then he's adversely affecting somebody else in the route, because his route is trying to, you know, remove a defender from a particular part of the field so somebody else can get open behind them. And so some of that stuff was obvious, and I think Troy pointed it out. But overall, you know, I come in this morning kind of expecting what I saw last night, and I even think, believe it or not, they lost that I know. They look better than I thought they were going to look.
Yeah, I know. And it's a three-score loss. They didn't cover 16.5.
I'm talking more offense.
Yeah,
than
I know.
Defense,
I mean, but I agree with you is what I'm saying. I was just setting it in the fact that, I mean, it was what, 42-14 at one point in the game. And they still, it just felt like offensively they were doing some good things. Now, there's four plays that the Ravens run, essentially. Now, I know it's more complicated than this, but you can't stop it, right? So it's either Lamar Jackson hands the ball off to Mark Ingram or Gus Edwards. He fakes that and runs it himself.
he does a little play action, throws the ball to a tight end, or he gets the ball deep down the field to Hollywood Brown. And you can't stop any of it.
No, you can't.
You can't stop any of it. I mean, it looks so simple as far as the play calling goes, but you don't know what's coming at what point.
Just look at some of the matchups down the field with some of the wide receivers.
Well, that versus, big pass interference call.
Well, versus either a linebacker or a safety. You know, Marcus May was on Hollywood Brown one time there for the touchdown pass, and Marcus May should not be covering him.
Yeah.
But they have no choice. That's what they have to put out there. And he has to play out of position, and he has to do something that he's not akin to doing against a very fast young wide receiver. So when you look at it, you take stock. Last night, the Jets were basically playing with a third of a roster.
Yeah. I mean,
and I actually thought, for the most part, the offensive line gave Sam the time that he needed. Sam moved well around in the pocket. He was accurate last night. He did not see that there were no ghosts or none of that stuff. I know he only attempted 32 passes, but I think that's the amount that you want him to attempt, especially against that kind of defense. And the fumble, you know, that's not on him. I mean, God, the Ravens pass rusher got there before he even set his back foot.
And I actually think he did a pretty good job when he was under duress of moving, making throws on the run. There was a couple of impressive throws on third down. They were converting third downs too, which they've been terrible at all year. It's just, you know, and they left 9 points at least on the board the first half.
Off the board.
Off the board. At least 9 points off the board in the first half. And it could have been more if they had scored some touchdowns. And then after that, you know, they came out. They actually got a stop early on because the Ravens got the ball first drive of the third quarter. They got a stop there, but they just couldn't get it going again offensively. And it's just tough. I mean, it's like the field is tilted when the Ravens have the ball. It's as if the field, it's downhill the entire time.
Yeah,
everything
is five,
6 yards at the very least.
And for the most part, when you see the Ravens team out there, that those are their starting first line players. Those are the starters that they have, you know, from their offensive tackles to their running backs to their quarterback to the wide receivers to the tight ends. Everybody's healthy, you know, and really part of the biggest or maybe the biggest key for any team in the NFL is when December comes around, you know, have your team be healthy, you know, don't have 15 guys on the IR. So I'm not going to sit in here. I'm not going to kill the Jets at all. And what I was watching for last night was Sam Darnold and how he was going to play, knowing that this was going to be a tough game for him. He stood in there. He threw the ball well. He was accurate in the first half. It was a bad interception. I don't know if that was a busted route, if he thought that one of the guys was coming underneath that went over the top. You just don't know about that because you're playing out there with guys that are up on from the practice squad.
Right. I mean, this was not Chris Herndon. This was not Ryan Griffin. I mean, he's just throwing to guys that he probably just met. You know, I mean, there was a guy, you know, the fact that Jeff Smith was catching passes.
Well, good for Jeff Smith, though, right?
Yeah, but I'm not crushing Jeff Smith. You know what I mean? The fact that I didn't even know this guy existed until he's out on the field on a Thursday night game just shows you where they're at. And that's on offense where they haven't had as many injuries as they had on defense.
And here's the thing. So Sam Darnold is 22 years old, and he's getting ready to finish his second season. He's 22 years old.
Yeah.
So Joe Burrow is going to be drafted number one by most likely the Bengals, assuming they have the number one overall pick.
Right.
He's 23 years old. He's been in college for 5 years.
Right, the whole transfer thing,
He's going to win the Heisman Trophy tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be the biggest biggest margin. I believe it will be the biggest margin of victory in the history of the Heisman Trophy. There's the other guys, Justin Fields and Chase Young, good players, good seasons, not even close to what Joe Burrow accomplished at LSU, especially in the two biggest games of the year at the end of the year.
Sure.
So he is an amazing player, but he's 23 years old. Think about that. Sam Darnold is 22.
Yeah, I mean, he did some stuff last night that did impress me. I mean, the touchdown pass after Jameson Crowder drops the one where he's wide open, and then he comes back, rolls out, he's under pressure.
That throw is unbelievable.
I mean, he fitted through basically a keyhole to get it there, and then Jameson Crowder, of course, redemption time for him as he makes that catch, a very difficult catch. I mean, there were some impressive things about it. I know there's some Jet fans that'll say, you know, you guys are nuts. I mean, how are you putting a positive spin on it? It's not even so much putting a positive spin on it. It's just You know, this Ravens team is at a point where they are favorites to win the Super Bowl. The Jets are completely decimated. This season got away from them, and they went in there, and they actually were able to move the ball on them. They just can't stop it. I don't know how anybody stops them.
Probably like the number one team versus like the 28th team.
Sure, easy.
Given the state of the roster and what it looks like right now. So, I was watching Sam. I was watching, you know, how he was playing. Was he flustered? He never got flustered.
No, not at all. Now, I guess the real question is, too, is as far as the NFL goes, is, you know, who's beating the Ravens? Now, you think about the AFC. Of course, there's some good teams. The Patriots have struggled recently. Kansas City Chiefs are coming on now. But, I mean, how do you beat them and who does it? Because it's going to go through Baltimore. And as I mentioned, you don't, out of the four things that they do, which is Lamar Jackson runs, a running back, mostly Mark Ingram runs the ball. It's a play action to a tight end, or it's down the field. You don't know what's coming at any point, and all of it is successful. If Lamar Jackson is healthy and this good with that speed, which, by the way, looks like a video game, how do you stop him? Seriously. Now, could they lose a game to the Chiefs 45-42, and Patrick Mahomes is doing the things we've seen from him since he's been a starter with the Chiefs? Maybe. But because the Ravens defense has been good, but obviously you could do some things against them. But I don't know. As I stand here right now, and I know there's a long way to go, if this team is healthy and Lamar is healthy, how do you stop them?
I felt like San Francisco and Buffalo played them tough, played them really, really tough. And the way you're going to have to beat them, you're going to have to be up late in the game by more than a field goal. And he's going to have to run the 2-minute drill.
Yeah.
And you're going to have somebody that is going to be able to somehow, and they were talking about it last night, you know, the whole spy concept is ridiculous. It's more about staying true to your rush lanes and not letting him get outside. You have to set the outside edges. You can't let him run around outside, and you got to try to keep him in that pocket. You got to stay disciplined. And then when you get a chance to tackle him, you have to make the tackle. There's probably going to be 5 or 6 times in a game where you have the guy standing there, and he's just not going to be able to make the tackle.
Yeah, I do think it was sort of like football poetry last night when Lamar Jackson broke the quarterback rushing record for a single season, but got laid out on the play. You know, which
that's
sort
what
of,
I'm saying. That's the thing you have to really worry about, and that's why Greg Williams was saying this past week, you know, you're going to have to learn how to play more out of the pocket than you can't have 8, 9, 10 runs a game where you are the featured runner with football and expect to make it through a season. I mean, it's just he may be built for that, and that's his game, and that's going to be great, and it's fun to watch. I just don't know how long it can be sustained. That, to me, is the big question. Now, if the playoffs started today, you would have Pittsburgh at Kansas City, the 6 seed at the 3 seed.
Okay.
And then you'd have Buffalo and Houston.
Yeah, I know. Wild card weekend. That's your Saturday 4:30 snooze fest.
So there is a very good chance that Buffalo could beat Houston.
Okay.
So that means Buffalo then would have to go to Baltimore and go play them.
All right. They played them tough in Buffalo, but I still think, I mean, the Ravens would be a huge favorite in the game.
They would be, and Josh Allen would have to play a lot better than he did, you know, the last time they played the Ravens. And that would mean you'd have Kansas City going to New England most likely,
yeah,
and you'd have, you know, another matchup of them in New England.
Yeah, it's really which one of those two teams, because I think one of them will meet the Ravens in the AFC Championship game out of Kansas City or New England, who is built more to beat the Ravens. Now, I'm not a guy who throws dirt on the Patriots. I won't do that until they're knocked out of the playoffs. I expect them to have a big week this week and their offense to really shine against the Baltimore Ravens, and maybe the Cincinnati Bengals. It'll quiet some people for at least a week. But, I mean, right now, it's been proven. You know, the Chiefs and the Ravens are better than what the Patriots are right now. So who out of those two, when it matters, going into Baltimore has a better shot beating them?
The only team that would not go to Baltimore would be the Kansas City Chiefs. So it's either right now it would be the Texans, the Bills, or the Pittsburgh Steelers going to Baltimore.
Well, but the AFC Championship game, though.
I'm saying in the second round.
Right, yeah. But I'm putting the Ravens in the AFC Championship game.
Could the Pittsburgh Steelers with that defense and Duck Hodges go into Baltimore and beat the Ravens?
I mean, that would be a shocker.
Those two teams know each other really well.
They do.
That's a great defense.
I know. I get it. Plus, they hate each other. I mean, it's rivalry stuff. I just I think it's either going to be the Chiefs or the Patriots. It's one of those two teams that will have a shot against them in an AFC championship game. They will not, coming off a bye, lose at home with the season that they're having in the second round in the divisionals. It's just, I don't believe that's possible with how well they're playing
and
right now
in the NFC. You have Minnesota at New Orleans.
Yeah.
In the wild card weekend. It's a pretty good game.
It's a good game, but
And then you have Seattle at the Cowboys right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. I'll be really curious. We'll talk about these games later. But
yeah, okay.
But it's focused more on the Ravens and the Jets last night. But yeah, I'm putting the Ravens in the AFC Championship game easy. I would say I think the Chiefs would have a better chance of going in there and beating them because of how good that offense
like
can
Tyreek be. Like Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes, and Travis Kelce.
And like they all of a sudden like could drop 21 on you in the blink of an
Sammy
eye.
Sammy Watkins.
Right.
And then, he's running around making plays.
Right. And then just take Baltimore out of their game a little bit. You know, because I think that the way that the Patriots are playing offensively right now, that kind of plays right into Baltimore's hands, quite frankly.
Right.
I understand that, you know, these two teams and especially, well, Baltimore's had a ton of success historically against the Patriots as compared to the other teams in the AFC in big games.
The amazing thing is that, okay, so Baltimore goes to the Browns now, and then they have the Steelers at home in Week 17.
Well, they'll be resting everybody.
Most likely, but they could see the Steelers 2 weeks from them.
Yeah, but I mean, they're going to be resting it. They're going to have the one seed locked
back
up.
To back if they have to play the Steelers. You know, essentially for them it would be back to back. The Steelers would play a game in between that, but
I mean, those other teams. That's going to be one of those things where those other teams in the AFC that need the Steelers to lose for them to have a shot or whatever or seeding are going to be pissed off when RG3's out there running around. You know,
I got to believe it's got to be somewhat satisfying for Lamar Jackson to walk off that field last night and knowing that he just beat another quarterback that was drafted ahead of him.
Yeah, of course he does.
But he's got a better team.
Yeah,
he
has
a better team.
There's no doubt he's thinking about that stuff, but I also think he's a guy who's
That's 2 weeks in a row that he did it.
Yeah, he's a guy, though, that I don't know if he's got anything on his mind but championship right now because that's all he says.
You know, he says. And it's the right thing to say, but
right.
I will say – much like Patrick Mahomes going to Kansas City was the perfect fit, much like Ben Roethlisberger going to Pittsburgh with Coach Cowher was the perfect fit, Lamar Jackson going to Baltimore with John Harbaugh is the perfect fit.
Fresh off of Joe Flacco, where they were in desperate need of something.
And they changed the entire offense to fit who he is as a player, and that's exactly what's happened. So you can say whatever you want about being drafted later, but I think it's where you're drafted that matters, and it's not your first contract that counts, it's your second contract.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain places in the NFL right now where it is great to be a fan because you are treated to something special every week. And Baltimore is that place right now. Kansas City's another one of those places, of course, but Baltimore right now, you just know you've got the guy on your team who is he's head and shoulders the MVP at this point.
Taylor, it's also great being a fan of the Breadman who had a hat trick last night.
Yeah.
If you're waking up this morning and you didn't see it.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
You're so fired up. You pulled the Ranger Christmas shirt from the bottom of the hamper today.
Yes, I did.
To make sure that you were representing.
Yes.
Very good. So that's a true
up
fan
and down
right there.
We go. Up, we win one, we lose one, we lose one.
Yeah, hey.
It was good, though, man. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, the roller coaster of being a sports fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.